Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good friend Anita Rosen back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Anita is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going way back to the early part of this decade, and couldn't do without her. She is, her industry, the IT industry, especially the internet, is one of those industries where you can be a pioneer and still be a baby, because the young people really were the ones who got this thing going, and it attracted folks like that. And so Anita's kind of, even though she's still very young, she's one of the pioneers of the internet, going way back into the 90s, and has done a lot of great work in that area and continues to do so. She's the author of the e-commerce question and answer book. I have the second edition. I think there may be a new one. And then, of course, the new book is called E-Learning 2.0. She's our good friend, Anita. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. You don't mind me calling you a pioneer, do you?
That's fine. That's fine. I've got the arrows in my back.
but it's true, isn't it, about that? I mean, it's the internet's kind of interesting.
It's been, 15, 20 years since the internet's been around, depending on where you consider it starting.
I know, but you started when you were only 12.
Even if I was 20, which I wasn't when I started doing that work, 15, 20 years, that makes me
I thought you started when you were 12, Anita.
Yeah.
Anita, one of the things that that I've been doing quite a bit of work on over the last year or so, year and a half or so, I've done quite a bit of work with IBM on this topic, is cloud computing. And IBM, and I happen to know, is spending billions of dollars on cloud computing globally. I mean, setting up cloud infrastructure.
Well, that's the business that IBM is in, is outsourcing your data center.
Yeah.
And IBM will manage it for you.
That's right.
So what does outsourcing mean? And, from a small business person's point of view, outsourcing is the same if it's computers.
That's right.
If it's cleaning,
mm-hmm.
if it's, whatever your business is, if you are outsourcing it, what does it mean? It means someone other than an employee that works for you and something inside of your organization is doing it. And the conversation you have to have is, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Well, exactly.
What does that mean to you? And what questions do you need to be asking of any vendor that's you're going to be outsourcing to? And it's the questions you always have to ask whenever you outsource.
Well, my audience has heard me say now since day one, since I've been doing my show, that outsourcing is the best thing to ever happen to small business. Because
as long as you ask the right questions.
Right, of course. No, and then that's the case. But, it's the same thing as when you hire an employee to do a job. You still got to ask the right questions.
Right.
But the point I'm making is that there's something you and I've seen happen in the last 20 years, Anita, is a whole strata of the marketplace being created for outsourcing. It's happening all the time, and cloud computing is just one of those examples. The main reason I mentioned what I did, even brought up IBM, was because, if you're wondering if this thing's going to last, there are too many people making a big investment in this, and I think a lot of people, Anita, don't even realize that they've already been doing cloud computing for a long time without even knowing about it.
Well, cloud computing has existed. What it is with technology is every 10 years they change the name.
Mm-hmm.
And 20, 30 years ago they called this time sharing.
Right.
And 10 years ago, they called it ASP.
Right, exactly.
Now they call it cloud computing. Mm-hmm. So every 10 years, they have to change the name of something. It's existed for a long time.
Right.
I'm not saying that what they're doing today is the same thing they did 20, 30 years ago, because everything was different 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
But it's the same thing. What it is instead of having a computer in-house with a person in-house that's managing it, with applications that you purchase, and with all of your data sitting in-house,
right,
what you're doing is you're running that all in someone else's data center, and they're doing it for you, and you just have a terminal, a window to
right.
those applications.
Right.
And they're your applications.
And there's some that are a little bit of both, aren't they? For example, if you've got a security system on your computer, that operating system, that program resides on your computer, but it's also getting updates all the time from that other terminal, from that other server. We're going to need to talk to some more about this, folks, when we come back after these messages. This is the future we're talking about here, and we've got one of the experts with us, Anita Rosen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Love is strange. Lot of people.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. We've got lots of stuff there that you can do. You can listen, you can read, you can ask questions. Hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And if you know anything about what we do here at all, you know that we've been enjoying the benefits of the wisdom of Anita Rosen for a long time now as a member of our Brain Trust, one of our top online experts, one of our top IT experts, and especially in the area of e-commerce and e-learning. Those are two areas that she's been really great at helping us with, and she's back now. Her new book is called E-Learning 2.0, and we're talking about cloud computing as just another aspect of your outsourcing. And I know you're doing a lot of it. You've got people doing your books. You got doing your taxes. That's all outsourcing. If you may have somebody else doing your payroll, that's outsourcing. These are all outsourcing things, steps that you're taking. We do a lot of outsourcing in my business, Anita. But this is all going to be put on steroids with the increased applications being developed and the increased capability in cloud computing, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's get back to what we were talking about before. First of all, why is cloud computing, I always look, why is it good for the vendor? Because I want to know what's the motivation for them so that you got to get, when you're dealing with someone, why is it good for them and mm-hmm. why is it good for you? It's good for vendors. People that are selling you software, the reason they like it, twofold. Instead of selling you something, they get a lot of money up front. When you purchase cloud computing, now you've turned them into a utility. So now mm-hmm. they like it because they have an even cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying $200 a month to use their application, it's kind of like the phone company. They know there's $200 a month coming in every
right.
single month. So it's a really nice way to run a business, knowing that there is this constant stream.
So, not
every month looking for how much money you're going
to
make.
So let me stop you for a second. So, folks, one way to buy power on online power, processing power, would be to buy an $80 program or a $300 program. You write them a check and you forget about it. What Anita's talking about is with cloud computing, with this, as you called it a minute ago, you said a minute ago, we used to call them ASPs, maybe you pay them $25 a month or something like that, and it goes on and on for the vendor, as you say, forever.
Right. That there's just, every month it's on your credit card bill, and that is just a monthly bill that you have. Now, that's also nice for you, so instead of having, you might buy an application that costs a couple thousand bucks. Instead of having this couple thousand buck bump that you have to pay for,
mm-hmm.
what you have is this, couple hundred dollar a month.
Depending on the program, it could be a little bit, could be a lot. But you've got in the other way, if you buy it outright, it's on your hard drive. You got to protect it. You got to update it, right?
Right. So it's and sometimes you sit there and say, well, that's fine, it could sit there on my computer. I have QuickBooks. It's sitting on my computer. My person comes in. Why would I want to have an ASP version? And that's the question you got to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to have it? If it's sitting and it's working and you're happy, Maybe you don't need to have it. What it is when you're getting to more and more sophisticated applications, then it's not so easy for them to just sit there and have your employees use it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you might be starting to look at it. So some of the more simpler applications, you sit there and say, why on earth would I want to have Word in an ASP format?
Right.
And that's what I kind of ask. Why would you want to have it?
Right.
Whereas what I see for small businesses is a lot of the simple applications you're using, you're fine. It's sitting on your PC. You're happy. Don't change it.
Mm-hmm.
What it is when you're getting the bigger the application, the more sophisticated, the more people, IT people, you need to manage that application. And now when you're starting to talk about, I need a bigger computer, I need a more sophisticated computer, I need more sophisticated people to manage that application and that computer, now you're starting to look at, do I want to be able to bring these people in my in-house to be able to do this? Or, let them run it.
Right.
And what's changing for the small business person is there's a lot of applications that big companies had. I'm not talking about medium-sized. Like
this is what's leveling the playing field for small business, isn't it?
Pardon?
This is really leveling the playing field for small business.
Yeah, all of a sudden there was a lot of applications that companies, you had to have 10,000 employees before you could have the sophistication to have these database applications that let you do data mining. And you just couldn't do it as a small business person. You didn't have it. If you were at a big grocery store, you'd have these sophisticated applications.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a mom-and-pop store, you just didn't have the money to be able to have these sophisticated applications. Now, with the benefit of cloud computing for a small business, is now you're not buying the whole entire application and managing it. You're just paying a monthly fee to have access for them to manage it.
Just and you just have a piece of it. And so what it does is, as my audience is, we've talked about this before. This part of it is before, is it incrementalizes the power and democratizes the distribution, and it's in little bite-sized pricings that fits our budgets.
Hopefully.
Yeah, right.
If it doesn't fit your budget, you're not going to do it. But so it's giving you applications you might have never had access to before, which let you better run your business. That said, what's the downside of it? The downside of it is always when you outsource. Who is this company? Are they reputable?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest question I always have is, what happens if they go under?
Mm-hmm.
And what you should never say to yourself is they're too big to fail.
Right.
Because that's what everyone said about Lehman Brothers.
Right.
And Enron. So we've got lots of examples in the last 10 years of companies that we thought were too big to fail.
Right.
So you always need to ask. And if the salesperson says to you, oh, we're too big to fail...
When we come back, I want to ask Anita about this idea of becoming too beholden, too dependent upon the social media sites for our customer communities. What does she think about that? Tintel, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Anita Rosen is our guest. She's our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of E-Learning 2.0. That's her new book. Anita, tell us how we can find your book, how we can find you.
Oh, you can find me on the web.
All right.
You can find my book at Amazon or me at Amazon. Just Google Anita Rosen, Google E-Learning, and it will come up with lots of places that you can find me, or you can go to AnitaRosen.com.
So check that out, folks, AnitaRosen.com. As you know, you've been hearing her on the show for a long time. You know she's the best. Anita, we're talking about cloud computing, folks, and using it, trying to make – Anita's done a great job of giving us some good questions to ask, trying to help us decide whether cloud computing is right for us. Should we buy the capability and own it, possess it on our own equipment, or should we buy incremental pieces of it and rent it, so to speak, and let other people – let it reside other places. For example, Anita, we have our backup, our soft on our backup of all of our files and everything is a cloud computing program. Somebody's backing up our stuff somewhere else.
And did you ask them questions? What happens if
lots
your backup?
Lots of questions.
Because the problem is with companies that go under it. I'm not just saying computer companies. Any company. That's a great company Friday and Monday. The employees don't know it. Employees come in and the doors are locked.
Yep, that happens.
So you got to ask the vendor, what happens if you go under?
Mm-hmm.
This is your responsibility to ask.
Yep.
Where are your files? How do you recover your business? That's the number one question whenever you outsource. What happens if you go under?
And see, Anita, this is why I'm considered a heretic in social media circles, because I, unlike anybody else I've ever heard of, are actually asking people, okay, you've got all these customer communities, all these communities that you built on the social media platforms, the public platforms, Facebook, MySpace, et cetera, and Twitter. What happens if those go under? And people look at me like, well, are you kidding me? These are utilities. They'll never go under. Well, guess what? They do. None of them are making any money. All of them have security issues. All of them have the possibility of imploding on themselves. If you wanted to visit with your friends on Facebook, that's one thing. But if you put all of your customers, if you put a lot of your customer communities, and you depend on these public platforms, what happens if they go under? You've got to ask yourself that question, don't you, Anita?
Yeah. Well, it's like anything. You know, I think that's one reason email has been around. Email, from a technological point of view, has been around for a long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And why does it keep on going?
Because it just
works. It's a nice infrastructure, and you have a lot of control over it, and there's very little managing you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason.
You know, there's downsides of email. But we also look at things like Facebook. Is Facebook going to be the next AOL?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, AOL, remember in the late 90s, it was the hottest thing.
Right.
40% of anyone that was on the Internet was on it through AOL.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the portal of the world.
Yep.
And
now
they weren't able to maintain this. You know, I talk to people, you know, late 90s, and AOL, oh, you know, I got this on AOL, I spoke to someone on this. Everything they were doing were AOL. And 10 years later, now it's all Facebook that everyone's talking about.
And this is the story I've been telling about these platforms, and that's the reason why, folks, I've been telling you that you should, that while you're understanding the environment of the social media platforms, you're learning about that, I think you should do that. I think you should be talking to your customers there. You should be slowly but surely migrating them over to your own platforms, to your own communities that you have a little more control over. What do you think, Anita?
Well, it's exactly what we were talking about a minute ago with these cloud. It's like one of those, you know, do you have them on the cloud? Do you have them internal?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always say is, what's your backup plan? What happens if this goes under?
Right.
Do you still have, if you have everything on Facebook and tomorrow you find out for some reason that they closed up Facebook?
Right.
I personally don't think Facebook's going to die that way. I don't think Facebook's going to be, I'm alive today, and they valued me at $3 billion, and I have no revenue, and tomorrow we're going to be gone.
Right.
I think it's going to be one of those things that, oh, Facebook was so 2000-ish.
Right.
And well, now we're in the teens, and that's something, we've moved to something different, and like AOL is not gone. It's just
marginalized.
It's just one of many. The next new thing.
It's one of many,
and
yeah.
As a business person, you're probably going, you know, you might sit there and say, oh, I hired this person, and they're the best Facebook person in the world. And the question you have to ask is, I don't need to hire the best Facebook person in the world. What I need to hire is the best person that's good at communicating with my employees.
Regardless of
what platform. Because you know what? I guarantee in 5 years it's not going to be Facebook. It's going to be something
well
else.
Well said, Anita. Well said. Thank you for being here, Anita. Give us that website one more time.
AnitaRosen.com or ReadyGo.com.
ReadyGo.com, yeah, that's the other one. And then eLearning 2.0 is the new book. Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks, Anita. See you next time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
See ya. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.